sanctity of human life. It sounds such like a, because of we know of all these kinds of discussions about it, it sounds like such a heavy topic. But it's actually a joyous one. And the question in a world like ours, how can that be? It's almost like they're fighting words, aren't they? Two things you don't talk about at the table, right? Religion and politics. And this one can create such a conflict, such a fight. We have all kinds of issues, all kinds of opinions about it. So how on earth could it be a joyous one? And the answer is really simple. It's where you start. It's as simple as that. Your starting point. Because that sets the course for the rest of your heart and mind. It sets the course for all your other expectations, your hopes, and it provides a way to address the fears, the unknown, and the concerns. In today's psalm that's in the worship, from Psalm 139, and this is a contemporary English version of the psalm, but basically, it's talking about how God knit, how God formed us in the womb. The starting point can actually go back to the first book of the Bible, Genesis. And it said, and God took, you know, the dirt, the clay, and he formed Adam. And then later he took the same kind of dirt and clay, and he formed Eve. But he had taken a rib from Adam first. God made Adam and Eve. God made us, you and me. And that's our starting point. Because we come to understand, not only by law, that is God's law, but also by the gospel, that we are precious in the eyes of God. That we are special. Not by our doing, but by the very act of God. Think about it. God intentionally made you. Now, in our human thinking, we have issues with that, right? I won't do it, but raise your hand if you want to be taller. You know, raise your hand if you thought you should be skinnier. You know, raise your hand if you thought you should have hair. You know. See, I had hair when I was born. It just, life did this. But think about it. We have all of this, what we call preferred choices. And when you think about it, we have all these kinds of preferred future, isn't it? And so what happens in our human thinking is we get upset with God's choice. Why did you give me this mother and father? Why did you place me in this state? Why did you place me in this economics? And you have people that write about, you know, I really was born too late. I'm really like an 1800 kind of guy. Or I wish I was born when King Arthur, you know, was in power and I lived in Camelot because that really fits my personality. And you have people who think they lived before. And it is amazing, in the ability of the mind, have created a former life. And then you have people who live now who think they're channeling someone else's life. And when we start going down this avenue, We have now diverted ourselves from the starting point. The starting point of the truth. The sanctity of human life is not set by man, but it's set by God. We have been formed, and he knew about it. He was involved with it. With Adam, he breathed into him the breath of life, and with each of us, he oversees procreation. He oversees us having children. And I can't explain it. I don't have all the answers, but that's the starting point. And even our days are numbered, and I can't explain that one either. Why some longer? Why some shorter? I don't know. But God has given us this life. And then he declares us special and precious again by the message of the plan of salvation. Jesus was born. He lived. He suffered. He died. And rose again. Did he do it for himself? The Bible doesn't tell us that. He did it for you. John 3:16, it's so easy, isn't it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. For you. His creation, whom he made once and for all of time, he did it for you. In the Luther's Catechism, it talks about how we are bought and paid for, not with gold or silver, but by the holy, precious body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. He did it for you. And what is sad among humanity is that is not enough. We have no longer valued the Son, God's Son. And we have no longer honored the Creator, God Almighty. Or, like the Old Testament says, we are like sheep. We have all gone astray. And what that applies to is that our thinking has detoured from the truth of God. And so now the conversation is no longer about the Creator, and it's no longer about Christ living and dying and rising for us. It's about my self-esteem. It's about my self-worth. It is about my self-centeredness. It is about my preferred life and preferred future. It is about self-determination. And you now see who is God. It's self. It's shameful for me to confess, but I once almost killed my brother that's just younger than I am. I'm not proud of that fact. I was old enough to know better. At the age of 5, I tried to kill the older brother, but I probably really didn't understand all the dynamics of hanging. But I was in high school, and I got mad at Robert. Robert's bigger than I am. I did not like my current life. I was unhappy. I was full of anger. And I was angry at him, and I wanted a different preferred future. And so I took a broom handle, and I had it up against his neck. My back was against the wall in the hallway. My hands were solid around the broom handle. And in this house, the hallway was narrow. Robert's back was against the opposing wall. The broom handle was against his neck, and he was turning blue. My weird sense of humor, it was my favorite color of blue. But do you understand the rage? Do you understand the selfishness? Do you see the human thinking of what we are capable of? Modeled right there. His life was no longer precious. His life was no longer important. His life was not set by God. not by me. And I wanted the choice to remove him. Robert was bigger than I am, and he was doing a fingertip push-up on my chest as I had longer arms than he did, choking him. And it was that strength that God gave him that kept me out of prison. Robert still lives. He's actually in Dixon, Tennessee now. How stupid we can be in the beat of our own heart when our heart doesn't beat with the love of God and the truth of God. How easy is it for anyone to go to that dark place of our sinful nature and be so self-absorbed that we would intentionally take another life that isn't threatening our physical life, but threatening our lifestyle, our life choices, our preferred future. We see it played out less violently in our world when people take their parents to a nursing home and drop them off and never visit again. The preferred future is, I don't want to be bothered. It goes beyond just the questioning of the unborn. Do we let this one live? Or do I prefer a different future with a career and independence and not spending money on them, but I have financial goals? I don't want to work harder. I don't want to toil longer. And notice how selfish it is. We can sound loving. Well, what kind of life would that person have if they grew up? But we make choices about that, how we help one another, how we encourage one another, how we love one another. What kind of life can they have? They can have a life loved. They can have a life treasured. They can have a life valued. The sanctity of human life goes beyond capital punishment. It goes beyond abortion. It goes just to the very core of when God said, love your neighbor as yourself. It is to treat life as precious and holy and a gift from God, created by God. And we aren't God to change that. We are not little gods to overrule that. When we shun people, when we ridicule people, when we bully people, it is a devaluation of what God says is already valuable in the cross and in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. But then again, in our human thinking, we take a detour. I've actually heard Christians say, when it comes to conflict with one another, this has nothing to do with God. This is between me and them. Have you ever thought that? Foolishly, right? You know, this is not a God question, and it is a God question. It's how are you honoring and glorifying God? How are you giving glory to God in your very words, in your very thinking, and in your very heart? I think the offertory is really a sanctity of life. Petition, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And included in that supplication to the Lord God is, let me not devalue people around me. Let me not shame them, and let me not push them aside as if they are nothing but a gnat. Let me not squash them and hurt them with my words or even with my fist. Let not my rage overwhelm and tidal like a tsunami and wipe them off the face of the earth. But instead renew me, restore me as one created by you, given new life in the water and the word of my baptism. Renew me that I may live for you. Create in me, O God, a sinner, a renewed and right spirit. I am ever so thankful that my older brother John really didn't get hung. And I am ever so thankful that Robert is still living. And as is only by an act of God's intervention. But it should never have been needed. Take a moment in your life. When have you been the offender? When have you been negligent? When have you dishonored God by our words, our heart, our thinking toward others? It's tough, isn't it? It's so easy for many people, and it is still many, who have never had an abortion, said, I have never done that. I would never done that. But we have done these other things, haven't we? We have been the bully. We have been the fool with hurtful words. And God has seen it all. And God, in His wonderful grace and mercy, God, in His overwhelming love, still reaches out to those who have had the abortion. He reaches out to those who have strangled their brother. He reaches out to those who have tried to hang another member. He reaches out to those who have spoken spitefully and mean words. He reaches out and He renews us. Yes, He created us, and yes, He restores us day in and day out. He lifts us up out of the despair of our guilt and shame, and He gives us another opportunity like this very day to give thanks to God for the gift of life, for our life, for the lessons He teaches during the rough days, and for the strengthening for the days when we have no strength. We give praise to Him in His masterful wisdom and His infinite plan of salvation that He has planted us where we are. And in the mystery of all things, He even raises up one like me to stand vested and proclaim, God loves you. When I, like you, am most unworthy to even say the words. But He restores and creates a new heart and a new mind and a new day. And one day, by His infinite wisdom, He has set that day, He will send the Son again to bring all those who live in Him into His eternal kingdom. You see, life is so precious that He will draw all who live in Him to Himself. Do you think we're really free with all of that truth then to be so cold-hearted, so negligent, so rude, belligerent, demanding? I don't think so. But instead, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are given the opportunity to get up again and to praise Him. To be reconciled not only to God in the forgiveness of our sins, but to be reconciled to one another, with one another, as ambassadors of the gospel, ambassadors of our Lord Jesus Christ, to say, forgive me, please. And then the words, I forgive you. Sanctity of human life. It's more than just the abortion issue, isn't it? Do you see it? It's about our very existence. How God has made us holy. And He commands His people, and it is a command. It's in the evocative. It's where God says, be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy. But you have to understand the command. The command is about God's people being holy because He is holy and the Holy One makes us holy. We don't become holy on our own. We don't say, well, I'm holy today. I guess I can approach God's grace. It's God makes us holy, and He brings us to Himself. And one day, that will be in its fullness on the day of resurrection. When all sin and all bitterness and all selfishness and all self-determination and all self-esteem and all of those self-issues and questions, they'll be gone. And God's people will no longer have that inner struggle. But we will be in the fullness of the peace of the Lord forever and ever. The human life, all lives of Christians will be sanctified unto life everlasting. And this Sunday is a reminder of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sanctifier. A reminder we are God's people, alive in Christ. Amen.